Yeah. So I want you guys to help me with a part. We don't do this very often, but I thought it would be fun, especially because there's only one person on stage singing. So we're singing that song, Oceans, and it's got this fun little part. This is what I want you guys to sing. Oh, 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 oh. Do it again. Oh, 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 oh. Okay? So that part's going to be after, like, every chorus, pretty much. So you guys will join in, and I think it'd be really cool to have the whole room singing that part. You guys ready to get some worship on? Here comes our part. Ready? Oh.
My faith will stand, and I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am.
Here you go.
Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Oh, oh. Fear surrounds me. You never fail, and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name.
Oh, yeah.
And keep my eyes above the waves. The oceans rise, my soul will rest.
My faith will be made stronger in the presence of.
keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, oh, oh. Come on. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah. Woo.
That was awesome. That was fun. Come on up, Brock. Here he comes. Look at his cool outfit.
Thank you, Tanya. This is Pat Sajak and Vanna White, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. So we're going to get ready for the Word of God. Y'all ready for the Word? Y'all been enjoying the Revelation series? Jesus wins. That's been the tagline, man. And so we're going to welcome Joe again. He's been preparing and preparing and preparing. Can y'all pray for him? As he comes up, just extend an arm to him and just pray. Just pray that God uses him. Lord, would you use Pastor Joe and the word you've prepared in his heart this week? God, would you anoint him afresh, give him the ability to expound on your word? Holy Spirit, empower him. Empower him to do exactly what you want him to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So he's been doing the survival tips as well. I've been trying to say this like two or three times. I think now's the appropriate time. you guys have been enjoying that, right? So he's going to begin to do the survival tips in his vlog series called Joe Knows. Have anybody been tuning in to Joe Knows? So that comes out weekly. The survival tips will begin to be incorporated into Joe Knows now. So it won't be in the service. So that means that you guys have to tune in, subscribe to the YouTube channel, Crossroads YouTube channel, and subscribe to the Facebook feed, Crossroads Arlington Facebook feed, and get the survival tips and log in and tune into Joe Knows. Amen? Amen. Pastor Joe?
Thank you, Brock. All right. Thank you, Travis. It's great to see you guys this morning. I want to tell you, it's been strange. A lot of you are here, but most of you aren't. I think there's about a third of our people that I actually get to see, and two-thirds of them I have not seen since this whole thing that we've been dealing with called a pandemic. Have you heard of it? You guys aware of what's... So I want you to do me a favor. This past week, I just reached out and I called someone from the church. I hadn't seen them for a while. And I just said, hey, miss you, just want to see how you're doing. And she texted back, of course, you don't have to call, you can text me back. But she said, hey, haven't missed a Sunday yet, see you every Sunday. We moved, they actually moved, they're still, you know, kind of close. And it's just nice for me and our staff to hear from you. So would you do me a favor? Would you start letting us know if you're not able to? Now, if you're here, I get to see you. I know you're here. But if you're not here and haven't been coming, just let us know that you're still there. We're going to be actually reaching out to you in a coordinated fashion. Our pastors are going to be doing that. But I would love to just kind of know that you're still alive. You know why? Because I care about you. And I really miss people that haven't been around. So just keep in touch with us. Let us know. And don't Facebook me. I mean, I'm on it, but I'm really not. Just send me an email. Send me a text. Something. But just let me know you're still alive because we love you very much. All right? Good? And for those of you that are here, it really is great to see you. I have to tell you that. It's great to see you. All right. So... we're going to continue our study through called The Revelation of Jesus Christ, which has really been a study through the book of Revelation. And this morning, we're going to go through 3.5 chapters, kind of a survey. We're going to move quickly, but I think it's an area that we can move a little bit quickly, but you're going to see some things that are very impactful. You see, what took place is the Lord wanted us to know that, first of all, his word is true and that his words are true. And he has tried to let people know what really matters in life. And we constantly, every generation, we mess it up. We get mixed up and we get caught up in the world we live in. And so he decided he would give John, the apostle, one that was very close to Jesus, after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, ascension to heaven, the church had started. John is in his 90s, and he's on an island as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't think when he started following Jesus that John thought he was going to end up in prison for his faith, but he did. And he's a prisoner on an island, and God gives him a vision so that we would know what's going to come. Now, it was written over 2,000 years ago, so how do you write something 2,000 years previous without, forget the technological age, it hadn't even been the industrial age, right? How do you write that in such a way that it can be relevant for those hearing it then and 2,000 years later? It's the word of God. And that's what he's given us. So that's what we're looking at. We're going to survey through. We're moving towards the end of the tribulation in our study. So let me just kind of quick review and then move into today's scripture. So last week in chapter 14, we saw Jesus, he appeared seated on a white cloud. And in his hand was a sharp sickle. And Jesus took the sickle and swung it across the earth. And an angel announced as he did that, that the earth was ripe to be reaped. In other words, the fruit was ready. And he took a sickle and whoosh. And again, John is seeing this in a vision. And then seven angels with the last seven judgments of God, one by one, poured out what are called the bowl judgments on earth. They're called bowl because the angel had a bowl and he would pour the bowl. And this is in the vision. He would pour the bowl upon the earth. And we saw the first six of these. And we ended chapter 16 in verse 16 as the sixth of the seventh bowl judgments had been poured out. And the nations we saw had been gathered by demonic spirits to a place of battle called Armageddon. Remember? Okay, you know. This morning, we're going to survey through some of the happenings as we move towards the end of the tribulation. And as we do, I'm going to be sharing thoughts and applications as we go. Things for us to think about, applications for what we're learning here. So we're going to pick up where we left off in Revelation chapter 16, verse 17. It says, the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. And a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. This was the final of the 21 judgments poured out upon the earth that we read about in the book of Revelation. It says in verse 18, and there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake such as there had never been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. Now, we're well into the tribulation period, which is a seven-year period where we believe, again, we don't fight over these things. I believe that the church will be raptured, caught up to be with the Lord. I believe the rapture comes before the tribulation. Some believe it's in the middle. Some believe it's at the end. We're not really sure. But the tribulation, I believe, begins with the church raptured and then Antichrist, a man who becomes a demonically inspired leader, comes into power. And these judgments begin, and this is toward the end of this seven-year tribulation. And as the seventh angel pours out its bowl, the words are said, it is done. And a massive, massive earthquake, just massive, just hits the earth. Now, we're going to move into chapter 17, and the focus is on the destruction of Babylon in chapter 17. Babylon referred to as the great prostitute, which many believe is a reference to religious Babylon, the false religious world system. Babylon is just a name, a phrase for really the world, okay? And some believe, it's hard to know, that in Revelation chapter 17, the fall of Babylon refers to the religious system in the world. Okay? So let's pick up in chapter 17. It says, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, come, John, he's in a vision, I'll show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on earth have become drunk. Now again, this is a vision. Much of Revelation is symbolic. But this angel, it was one of the ones who had the bowl judgment, comes to John after the seventh judgment is poured out, and he says, come, I'm going to show you the judgment of the great prostitute. And it says the kings of the earth have embraced this, the thing that this great prostitute was leading. Now, I believe this is referring to the religious system of the world. And they have become, the kings of the earth, have become drunk on it. Now, immorality, adultery, are terms used in the Bible to describe idolatry. Idolatry is when we worship something other than God. Anything that we worship other than God is a form of idolatry, and often immorality and adultery are, it's kind of like you're cheating on God, okay? So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he wants your full, like I'm married, okay, let's talk about on the earthly. I am married to my wife, Toni. Now, because we have a couple that's engaged, and I want to throw this out so they'll know what I think. So for you and I, when we were dating, we were to be faithful to God and not touch each other, correct? And we were able to, by God's grace, and because we purposed in our hearts to not touch each other sexually, we waited, but then we got married. And then we were together as a couple. So then being faithful to him meant her only touching me, and me only touching her. Get it? Does it make sense? Okay. Corey, your mom is here. That's good, right? You like that, right? Okay. She likes it. Okay. So when it comes to our relationship with God, when we come to him, he becomes our God. And God is jealous in a sense. Now, the jealousy he has is not a bad jealousy because, Toni, you should be jealous that my only affection, physical affection, would be towards you, and I should have that kind of a jealousy because we're committed to each other. And God wants his people to be committed to him, to worship only him. Okay? So when we worship other things, put other things before him, it's considered spiritual immorality, spiritual adultery. Okay? And I believe that's what he's referring to here in this passage. Let's pick up in verse 4. Now, I think this is representing all of the religious systems of the world, many which have missed the mark, and you'll see it. Verse 4. It says, the woman was arrayed, dressed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup. But this cup was full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery, Babylon, the mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. So this woman, which I believe represents all of the religious systems that have existed really since the foundation of the world, this woman looked really good. Arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, jewels, pearls, and she had a golden cup. The cup was golden, but what was inside the cup were abominations and impurities of her sexual immorality. See, I think this represents the church, the religious systems of the world. You say, Joe, you're part of one. Well, not really. Because I'm not religious. I don't like religion. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we have a church that gathers, but we're not part of any system other than the fact that we're part of the church of Jesus Christ, of which he is the head. But there have been churches, and now they're denominations. You can tell by the fruit of the churches. You can tell by what's coming out of them, what they're allowing, how they turn from the scriptures and from the truth of God's word. And then there's always a remnant. From within that group come the real believers who, and they have to start another denomination and another one and another one. But there has always been a false representation of God on earth that goes by the church. We just need to realize that. Need to get that in our heads and make sure you're not part of that system. Okay? See, being a follower of Jesus Christ, it's not about belonging to a church. It's about having a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? So he's speaking to this, verse 12. Let me continue. It says, and the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings. So 10 kings, they represent world powers, political powers. They're 10 kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. The beast, we learned that, is the Antichrist, the human one world leader who rises up during the tribulation. And there are going to be 10 kings, political worldwide forces that join forces with the Antichrist to battle against the Lamb, against Jesus Christ. It says in verse 14, they will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. But wait, we're going to hold off. We're going to get to that later. And to be honest, when we see Jesus as the victor, I want us to get excited. Can you do that for me? Okay. Not yet, though. Not yet. Willie, I'll let you know. Willie, you lead the way. I want you to stand up and get those arms moving. And okay. All right. Verse 15. It says, and the angel said to me, now again, I keep telling this to you because you must know the context to understand what's going on. John is about 90-something years old. He's on an island, and God gives him a vision. It's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's revealing how the things are going to end with Jesus at the center stage. And John is seeing a vision, a long vision, and he's watching it. And it says, and the angel said to me, the waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And the 10 horns that you saw, they and the beast will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. The 10 kings and the Antichrist will join forces during the tribulation to battle against the false religious system of the world that they actually early in the tribulation empowered. They know it's false, so they're not. Do you know, when the world's not worried about us, it probably means we're not doing the right thing. We should be a threat to the demonic forces as the church. Say, man, what do you mean, threat? I mean, everything's fine. Everything's going great. Now, that could be okay, but it also could mean that you're not following the Lamb closely enough. Because we should be a threat to the enemy. We really should. Okay? So this is going on, and so this one world religious system will rise up during the tribulation. But the Antichrist and political leaders will turn against it. Against it. So it's kind of like this. So let's say you're on the fence about your relationship with Christ. You got one foot on the stage and one foot over here. I just had my hip replaced. It's pretty good. I'm okay. I'll hold on. Right? Here's the problem with that. You're getting shot at from both sides. If you know Jesus Christ, follow him. Follow him. Because why would you stay in the middle and get shot at from both sides? There are going to be churches that acquiesce to what the Antichrist allows them to do. And he's going to turn on them. He's going to turn on them and wipe them out. John is Jesus, the angels. John is telling us this so that we would know. So here's an application for this. Application. We as individuals and as a church need to focus our spirituality on the simplicity of following Jesus Christ. That's what I want you to do. Religion can quickly and easily get us off track. Okay? I was with a group of people on Friday night, and they were, it's JoJo, he was, they had a little celebration. They were able to release a little music video, and he invited all his musician people that he works with, and he said, what did he say, 13 people were coming? We'll just say there were a lot more than that, okay? We socially distanced, though, I promised, okay? We tried. There was every color hair I ever saw in my life. I mean, I never saw such gauges in people's ears because these are all musicians, and they're at the house, and it was really amazing. I wish, I actually been thinking about this. I'd love to start a church with this group of people. There's so much faith in the room and in the house, and I guess because they told me, that your son, they said, Joe, your son is, what a heart, what a pure heart. And he tells me, Dad, this guy's an atheist. He tells me about it, and he says, but I'm trying to just let him see, because, Dad, they all know I'm a Christian, and I'm trying to live out my faith for them to make God believable again. And that guy, the atheist, was there, and I already talked to him earlier in the day, because, and he's considering faith. And I looked at these guys, and I was like, I don't know if they would feel comfortable here. I think they might. See, it has nothing to do with what color hair you is and how wide your earrings go. It has to do with if the love of Jesus is there, because I felt like I was at an evangelistic, like, celebration, and I had a chance to share. It's preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Because of JoJo's testimony, he gives me credit. He talks about me a lot, because I could tell that these people, these young people, all like in their 20s, they liked me before they met me because of what they see in him, and because he says that's what my dad has taught me. And here, a group of people who are not, maybe don't go to church, but haven't rejected Christ. They've rejected maybe that prostitute. When churches become political, when churches start to focus on anything other than Jesus Christ and the love for people, we get off track. I tell you the truth. Brock, I was thinking about this. We could start a church. I was thinking of doing a little Bible study for them. A lot of them are couples. They want to do marriage, pre-marriage counseling, pre-commitment counseling. And I'm like, my gosh, can you imagine when the church is focused on the simplicity of following Jesus Christ? But when we get off that, man, it gets ugly fast. We don't allow that to happen. Now, in Revelation 18, the focus is on the destruction of Babylon the Great, which is most likely a reference to commercial economic Babylon, the corrupt economic world system. I think, thank you, thanks to all of the information we get on a regular basis, I think most of us realize that we have been duped for a long time, that there are people in high places, and they're in America, they're in a lot of places. They're in high places, and they play by rules different than ours. And this is a Babylon, a world system. And by the way, that church system, God is going to destroy it, as he will the commercial, economic, corrupt world system of finances. It will be leveled out. That's chapter 18. Let's pick up. I'm going to read some scriptures to you. You'll see them up on the board. Just look at this so you see this is the word of God. Okay, it says chapter 18, verse 1. After this, after I saw the destruction, the kings are actually going to, and the Antichrist are going to take care of the false church. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he, the angel, called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen! Fallen is Babylon the Great! She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her. Now, it's talking about being joined together. He's not speaking of literal immorality. You'll see that in a minute. And the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. This is talking about the world commercial system that exists right now. There's a world, we don't understand it. We go to work, we get a check, we don't even know how it gets from somewhere into our account. We have all this stuff, but it's all been set up. And it's not necessarily set up with our best interest in mind as people, as just citizens, okay? So he says, come out of her. Come out of her. Verse 6. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed. As she glorified herself and lived in luxury, so give her a little measure of torment and mourning, since in her heart she says, I sit as a queen. I'm no widow, and mourning I shall never see. For this reason, her plagues will come in a single day. Death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for mighty is the Lord God who has judged her. This economic system that is being referred to here will collapse swiftly and completely in a single day. We get little glimpses of it when you read and you see stock market crashes. And I always wonder, where did the money go? Where did it go? What do you mean it crashed? It went down. And then you find it went up again, but what's going on there? Now, it's a little above my pay grade, okay? I know a little bit more about real estate, okay? But I don't get it. And you can understand, it's possible to understand how it works, but these things are being manipulated. They're being manipulated. We're in the world. We have to live in the world. But they're being manipulated, and it's to serve certain people. Look at verse 9. It says, and the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her, talking about who chased after money, will weep and wail over her, over this system, when they see the smoke of her burning. They will stand far off in fear of her torment and say, alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city Babylon. For in a single hour, your judgment has come. And then in verse 11, he goes on and it talks about the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn at the collapse of this economic system. It says the merchants of these wares who gained wealth from her will be weeping and mourning loudly. And it says in a single hour, all this wealth will be laid waste. Verse 19. And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned, crying out, alas, alas, for the great city where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth, for in a single hour she has been laid waste. And those who embraced the things, the luxuries, and the wrong way of pursuing money. By the way, money is not mad. Money is the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. But money is not the root of evil, and it's when we love it, and it's not the root of all evil, but all sorts. Those who embraced these things wept and mourned. Thought. Here's a thought. Application is coming in a second. How quickly will the things of this world pass away? Haven't you gotten a glimpse of it the last 6 months? Haven't you gotten a glimpse of how much that we thought mattered doesn't really matter? Verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her. Hang on a second. Everybody's mourning and weeping at the destruction, the collapse of the commercial, this economic system, but he speaks to the saints and he says, rejoice over the fall of Babylon, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her. Hang on a second. You mean the next time the stock market crashes, it'd be nice to know the day before, right? And sell off some of your stuff. Stop crying. Rejoice because God is in the early stages of the judgment that will take this entire corrupt system down completely. And he says, rejoice. God has given judgment for us against her, against that system. Now, here's my application. The ways of the world and the ways of God are incompatible. You need to understand that. We're living in a time right now where it's becoming obvious. You cannot embrace the ways of the world. So don't love and embrace the things of this world, lest you be loving and embracing that which God hates. Now you may say, Joe, what are you talking about? You want me to quit my job? No. Joe, I'm an investor in the stock. That's okay. It's fine. Just don't love it and don't embrace it. And if you're in it, you know it's corrupt. You know it. Here's what I like about living in New York. Not that much. But one of the things I liked, you know everyone's a liar and a cheat. You just know because they let you know. Okay? They're going to get over. They're going to get around. Forget. You're not talking about, well, I take advantage of the Internal Revenue's, some of the guidelines, and I take advantage of these things. No, no, no. The New Yorker says, pay me in cash. I won't even pay the tax. Government doesn't even need to know. In fact, they are so corrupt, maybe things have changed since I left. Okay? Maybe. It's worse. All I know is that I never thought that anything was really a law. I thought just suggestions. And everyone does whatever they want. At least they're honest. But when you grow up in New York, you know that anything that is large and has become institutionalized is completely corrupt. And we know that. And that's how it is with the entire world system that we live in. So what we have to do is we got to figure something out. We got to figure out how to be in the world, but not loving and embracing it. See, and that's where, I remember when I became a believer, and we had a business. Now, it's a long time ago. I don't think the IRS is going to come after us. But our business was about 80% cash. You're like, what is that? You don't even know what that means. Any New Yorker knows what that means. It means when someone pays you cash, you put it in your pocket. You don't tell the government you received it. Okay? So as a landscaper, people paid us cash. And then I became a Christian. I was like, wait a sec. That's not right. Now I'm lying. I'm being dishonest. And I began to fight with my partner saying, we can't do that. That's wrong. You see, that's Babylon. It's the love of money and embracing the world. So I've got to get as much as I can, really, and never be happy with it. And I said, listen, you better get me out of the details of this business because if we ever get audited, I'm sending us all to jail. Because I don't lie. And you see, that's what it means to be in the world, but not of the world. You know, my dad, he was like, you're going to do what? All the rules, they're just suggestions. If you can get around it, you get around it. Isn't that the way things should work in the world? But not as kingdom people. See, we tell the truth. We're honest. We take advantage of laws that allow us to get write-offs and all the different things that we can do, but we do it in a way that we don't have to hide anything. We don't have to lie. We can be truthful and honest. Now, one more thing commercial economic Babylon was responsible for, verse 24. It says, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. So what John is discovering that this system was responsible for the death of many, many people, particularly people in the kingdom over the course of history. And isn't that what history shows us? Isn't that what it shows us? So here's an application I want to give to you. It's something that I've taught. I didn't learn it from my family. In fact, I learned it by watching my family fight over money. I watched fights over money with different family members. And I came up with a phrase, and I was tested on it early in my Christian life. But and this is the phrase: don't ever fight over money. It's not worth it. Now, I told my children that. I raised them that way because I know someday Tony will be gone and we're going to hopefully be able to leave a legacy for our children and for the different things that matter to us. But I also know that that can get messy, can't it? Isn't it crazy? And so I tried to teach them, don't ever fight for money. My son, one of my sons is the executor. You know, we're set up for, you know, if we died suddenly, you know. And I just said, please, Chris, please, don't ever fight over money. Be wronged, you know. Give someone the benefit. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Well, wait a second. You know how much money? And they did this, they did that. Listen, it comes to a point where you say, you know what, go ahead and have it. I'd rather have less and be right with God than fight to get more. You know what was really exciting, honey? I hear the kids, they repeat that phrase. In fact, if that's the only, well, I want them to have a lot of things from me, but that is so important that they would never, and here's the reason, it's not worth it. Do you have a family member that you're at odds with because of money? Would you do me a favor? Let it go. You say, Joe, easy for you to say. No, I'll tell you privately some of my situations where I had to let things go. I had to give more money to certain things. And you know what I did? I earned their respect, and maybe they're more likely to follow Christ because they saw him in me. See, the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And when you love it, you're embracing it. And it's really hard to embrace God and money. It's really hard to do. Now, chapter 19, we're going to wrap up really quick. But in chapter 19, we move there and we hear this loud rejoicing in heaven. So just read a couple of verses to you. It says, it's in verse 1 of chapter 19, John says, after this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For his judgments are true and just, for he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Verse 6. It says, then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder crying out, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. Now, we're being introduced to this idea of the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Lamb is Jesus Christ. The Lamb will have, in a sense, a marriage with the bride of Christ, which is the church. So this is in the future. This is coming where Christ, and right now, Christ is, we're betrothed to him. Rebecca, kind of like you're betrothed to Corey. Okay, you guys are engaged, right? You got the ring? Let me see it. Is it big? Hold it up. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. You've made a commitment to each other. So here's how it is. And so we now have made a commitment to Christ, and he, more importantly, made a commitment to us. We're going to be one with him. And that will take place at something like a marriage. When the church and Christ come together. Right now, we're betrothed to each other. So Rebecca, what we want you to do is we want you to keep exercising, eating right, taking care of yourselves, because the groom, Corey, he wants to marry the beautiful woman that he's chosen, okay? So he wants you to keep looking good, okay? Great, and do that, but not for anyone else, but for him, okay? And you see, this is the picture we have when it comes to us as the bride of Christ. Now, it's hard for me to imagine myself as a bride, okay? So the analogy breaks down a little bit. But we are part of the church which will come and become one with our groom, with Jesus Christ. And it says this clothing that the bride is to wear. And he talks about the bride of Christ. Fine, bright, pure linen. Okay, he uses that. And look at the last part of verse 8. He tells us what the clothing is. It's not the... Did you get the dress yet? You have the dress. Okay, great, awesome. Okay. I want you to see what the clothes of the bride of Christ, you and I as those who are committed to him and he to us. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Here's a thought. Righteous lives provide the perfect clothing for the bride of Christ. You understand? You get that? That's how we prepare ourselves for this marriage. And when we become, again, I'm not going to be marrying. It's hard for me to think of myself being a bride, okay? But let's say I'm a groom dressed in white. How's that, okay? I was dressed in white at our wedding, right, hon? Wasn't the John Travolta suit. That was from before. But I get myself ready to be united with Christ by living a righteous life. I don't live the righteous life to become part of Christ. It's because he's made me part of him. And I want to be prepared. I want to look my best. And the way I look my best is not by wearing outward clothes. It's by living a righteous life. Verse 9. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those who have a personal relationship with the Lamb, Jesus Christ, get invited to the wedding. Verse 11, I'm almost done. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. It's his own blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. Jesus, the faithful and true one, is riding on a white horse. Verse 14, we're wrapping up. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. He had an army of those that were ready. They were dressed, prepared to be with him. Verse 15. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here's a thought for you. Jesus is the great victor, and only Jesus needs to be the object of our worship. He's far above and beyond it all. There's going to be a showdown that takes place. The armies of Satan, the kings of the earth, come to stand against the army of Jesus. He's sitting He's sitting on a white horse, wearing a robe drenched in his own blood, the blood that paid for our sins. And with him is an army of, I believe they're angelic, I'm not really sure, okay? And who do you think wins that battle? Willie, who wins that battle? We know who wins it. The beast and the false prophet are captured and thrown into the lake of fire. The rest of the armies will be slain by the sword that comes from Jesus' mouth. You see, when we begin to understand, now John wants us to know what's coming. Why would we allow the things of this earth to take away this great victory that we face, that we're going to walk this victory? We're part of his mighty army with him. And what I want to do as I wrap up this morning is I want to ask you, do you know the Lamb? Do you know him? Do you know the Savior? You see, the way to avoid this horrible battle and all of these judgments is to be a part of the church, not belonging to a group of people. The church meaning you're baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. And then, because you're part, you have a personal relationship with Christ, you will be invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb because you're his. Have you ever come to Jesus? Forget church. Church's not going to help you in this day. Have you ever come to Jesus and made him your great victor and your Savior? Do you know him personally? I want to invite you this morning to, as we hear the awesomeness of the way things are going to go down, I want to make sure that as things are going down, that I've been taken up. And the way we do that is we open our hearts to the great victor and the Savior, Jesus Christ. So close with me in prayer. If you're here with me this morning and you're in the building, then I'm going to give you the opportunity. If you never have, maybe you kind of halfway did, maybe you got 1 foot halfway in and 1 foot out. If you want to make things right with God and receive him as your Savior, your victor, to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer with me where you open your heart and invite him in. If you're listening somewhere, maybe you're live, maybe you're listening, it's a different time of the day, maybe a different time of the week. It's okay. My prayer is for you. And God is calling out to you to become part of the body of Christ. And you do that when you put your faith and trust in Jesus. So why don't you pray this prayer with me, either from your seat here or from wherever you are watching. It starts by you acknowledging, recognizing that you cannot save yourself. This thing is bigger than you. You acknowledge, and just talk. I'm going to guide you through it, but you talk to God now. You can talk to him in your heart. Lord, wow, it is huge. I'm so confused, and it's hard to understand what life's all about, but I do know. Just be telling him this. Let him know that you agree with him, that you have sinned and fall short of his standard of perfection. Just tell him that. Say, Lord, I confess. Just generalize all of my sin. I confess it to you. Yes, I'm a sinful person. And now let him know that you believe that when he died on the cross and shed his blood, that blood we just saw was on his robe. It paid the price for our sins. It paid our debt. Let him know that you believe that. Jesus, I believe that your blood poured out for me provided a permanent covering for all of my sins. I believe that. And now, I want you to open your heart Just open your heart. When I want to open my heart, I put my arms out. You can do that physically or you don't have to. But if you feel comfortable, open your arms and say, Jesus, come in my heart. Come in, Jesus, come in. Forgive me of my sins. Be my victor. Be my Savior. And help me to follow you all the days of my life. In the room with your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer, would you slip your hand up? And I'm the only one looking. Just put up your hand so I can see it. There you go. Great. Awesome. Awesome. And just keep it up till I see it, just so I know. Anyone else? Okay. Great. Awesome. Anyone else? There you go. Okay. Awesome. 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 Great. If you're home and you've prayed this prayer, would you maybe, I know you're probably not going to do it, but why don't you just email me? joe@crossroadsarl.org, and just say, Joe, I prayed that prayer and I want to welcome you to the family. Lord, thank you for those that have opened their hearts to you. I know that we'll never be disappointed. And help us to live day by day following you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did was stay still. I think we can all say that it is definitely better his way than our way. And, you know, we have so many things in life that we can look around and we can just have a love for it. And, you know, sometimes that's okay, but when we begin to put those things before God, it's not okay. And it's so easy because all of these things that we can so easily fall in love are tangible things, things that we can hold, we can see. But I think what we learned today is in the fact that those things are going to crumble and fall, right? We're going to see all of it, all the money, all the economy, all of those things that we see rise and we put so much trust in providing and taking care for us, we're all going to see them fall. But one thing that I know is true is that Jesus Christ doesn't fall, but not only does he not fall, but he raises, right? So why do we continue to put hope in the things that are just going to fall apart? I believe there's somebody smart in the Bible that said, you know, if you build your house on sand, it's not going to stand, but if you build it on the rock, it is going to stand, right? So let us not build our houses on those things that are going to fall when the winds and the troubles come. But let us stand on Jesus Christ. And as he raises, he's going to bring us with him, right? So great message, Joe. Thank you very much. I have to say, I've enjoyed going through Revelation. I mean, it's not something I've ever really heard in my life, and I hope that you guys are all enjoying it. We have a couple of announcements for this week. So Tuesday nights have become a really good day for prayer. How many of you have known this, right? So at 6 o'clock, we have the House of Prayer with Gino that's held up in the front room where they pray over the prayer request of our congregation and just things that are going on here in the country. And then at 7 o'clock, we have our night of prayer. And I want to invite you guys to come out because one thing that we love doing on Tuesday nights, if you never even joined us online for it, we love to pray for you guys. And we actually create an opportunity for you guys to send in prayer requests either online or while you're here in the room. And we just want to pray for you. And I'll tell you, I've gotten many responses back from things that we've prayed for on Tuesday night that God has been moving in a mighty way. So I encourage you, don't just skip by it because it's a prayer meeting. Come to it because it's a prayer meeting, all right? A few other things this week. So with VBS now being over, youth is moving back to Wednesday nights. It's starting at 6:15, goes to 8:15. Come out. We're going to be starting a new series this week. It's going to be a lot of fun. But Elevate, our kids' ministry, is taking a little break. So they will not be meeting this Wednesday. So teenagers, come out. Kids, don't come out, all right? And then on August 14th, I know that all the men can cheer for this in the room. Do I have anybody in here that likes steak? Any guys in here that like steak? I like steak. I'm just going to say, August 14th, if you like steak, come out Friday night because we're going to have some steak, all right? So I hope some people are with me. I'm not hearing too many cheers after that, but come on. All right. Also, I know that during this time that maybe because of the pandemic and COVID, and it's been really hard to grieve over some different losses and stuff that you may have experienced because of all the parameters and everything. No? Okay. Never mind. Cancel that. awkward. But as you guys heard at the very beginning, so survival tips with going over three chapters today, it was very hard to fit in. But what we want to do for survival tips is move it into Joe Knows. So again, please go to the YouTube, Crossroads Arlington YouTube, and subscribe to it. And we put this at the end of the announcement, so that way you guys can actually pull out your phones right now. I'm giving you permission. And go onto YouTube and go and subscribe, because I know that you guys have gotten a little taste of the survival tips, and you guys want more. Because you guys cheered for it at the beginning. So please go on there so you can continue to get the survival tips as well as the other great things that Joe's been bringing out on there. And that'll be launching on Thursday, the survival tip 3. So I'm going to pray for you guys, and then you guys are dismissed. So Father God, I want to thank you so much for today. Jesus, I want to thank you for being our Savior who's going to win in the end. And Lord, as the world collapses around us in many different ways, Lord, we can know and rely on you that you're going to stand strong. So, Lord, let us not push towards a religion, but let us push towards a relationship with you and know and trust that you are going to be the God that provides and takes care of all of us. So, we thank you so much in your holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen.